On this episode, I'm joined by my brother, Alan Stein Jr., to talk about how you can manage stress, stay present, and recharge your battery on return during your family vacation. Today is July 5th, 2022. This is episode 475 of the Main Street Magic Podcast.
Jeremy and Rhonda are more than a little fond of Disney World, so they made this podcast to share it all with you. Reports and resorts, top 10 lists of all sorts. Main Street Magic's bringing it home for you.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Main Street Magic. And while I am not joined by my lovely wife Rhonda today, I will be joined by my brother Alan Stein Jr. in just a moment. But first, make sure you check us out on the web at mainstmagic.com, as well as follow on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at mainstmagic. If you've not done so already, head out to Facebook and search for the Main Street Magic community and ask to join. And then if you want to get brand new episodes every Tuesday and Friday, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. And if you're planning a trip to Disneyland or Walt Disney World, it can be very overwhelming. We're going to talk a lot about that here in this episode, and at times it's just downright frustrating. Mouse Dining removes that frustration of booking your Disney dining reservations, alerting you when they spot availability for your desired restaurant, date, meal, and time. Visit MSMFriends.com to use their free service. And finally, if you're getting ready to plan that next Disney or Universal vacation, maybe you're looking to go on a cruise or pretty much travel anywhere else in the world, head to MainSTMagicTravel.com and fill out a form for a free quote. Our travel services are completely free to you. Alan, thank you so much for joining me today. You are one of our very few repeat guests on the show, so I truly appreciate it, and welcome back to Main Street Magic.
Well, I'm excited to be back with you. I'm looking forward. This will be a fun episode for sure.
This will. It'll be really interesting. And just before anybody who's maybe not familiar with you or somebody that might be new to the show, just give a quick background on who you are, what you do, and the whole reason we're having you on here is because this is something that you do in your kind of day-to-day life, is talking about, you know, managing stress, things like that. So just give a little bit of a background real quick for our listeners.
Well, for full context, I'm Jeremy's older brother by 3.5 years, so I'm really excited to be on this episode and certainly support all the wonderful work that he and Rhonda do. I spent most of my career as a basketball performance coach, and I had an opportunity to work with some of the best players and coaches in the world, and was able to learn and see and observe firsthand what they do to not only reach maximal performance, but to sustain it as well. And a good portion of that is their ability to manage stress and manage things that are outside of their control, which is what we'll end up discussing today. So you'll see in some of the examples and quotes I use that I do come from a very sports heavy and basketball heavy background, but I'm hoping to share principles that have such high utility that even if you don't like basketball as much as Jeremy and I do, you'll still find these things valuable. And that's the only reason that I'm here, is to add as much value as I can to anyone listening and to anyone planning a trip to Disney.
Yeah. And what's so great about everything that you do is, as you just said, it's very sports specific and related, but it applies to all areas of life. And while obviously we're kind of focusing on a trip to Disney World, this applies everything that we're going to talk about to going to Universal, to going to the beach, to going, you just came back from taking your three kids to Vegas, to, you know, all of that. And as anyone knows now, you know, a trip to Walt Disney World and many other places is probably more stressful than it's ever been. Whether it's still based on certain protocols that might be in place with COVID, or in Disney's instance, we now have things like Genie Plus and paid Lightning Lane. And, you know, again, prices are going up. And so we're going to break this down kind of into three sections. And part of that is, how do you plan and prepare and manage your stress leading up to your vacation? How do you stay present and, you know, set kind of expectations or not during your vacation? And then there's so many people that come back from Disney and they think, I need a vacation from my vacation. So how do you recharge your battery and kind of, you know, come back down to earth after you've done this? So let's start first a little bit with, you know, what tips and advice can you give to managing your expectations, your priorities, your stress as you lead up to a Disney vacation? And you and I were talking about this off mic, is that, you know, Rhonda and I really feel that you have to be careful with checklists and to-do lists. Mm-hmm. You know, don't let your vacation's value be determined by what you accomplished. And a lot of people can do that, which is completely understandable. So what kind of advice do you have to give on, managing your expectations, managing your priorities, managing all this planning, because you have to plan for a Walt Disney World vacation. You can't just show up, right?
No, you certainly can't. Before we do any of that, I want to make kind of a couple of disclaimers and lay the foundation. The first of which is everything that Jeremy and I will discuss and everything that I'll share today is basic in principle, but none of this stuff is easy to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll say that with full humility. And Jeremy, having known me for my entire life, well, I guess technically his entire life, I guess he didn't know me the first 3.5 years, he'll be able to attest that many of the things that I share today are things that I really, really, really struggled with for most of my life. I mean, Jeremy can attest to the fact that, you know, before maybe I'd like to believe I became enlightened, some of these things would have really bent me out of shape. So I say that with nothing but compassion and empathy and humility, that everything I'm going to share, I've seen both sides of this. And I do think that these things will be able to help. Also want to make sure you all understand that I'm not saying that this approach is right, because I don't believe in looking at the world through a right wrong lens or a good bad lens. I'm going to share some things that have worked really well for me, not just in planning vacations, but just general parenting tips too, and I just hope that you find them helpful and beneficial.
Yeah. And I can say that, and we were talking about some previous Disney trips that we've done with our whole family before, that there has been a complete shift that I've seen in you in coming to some of that realization of how to manage things. And then I even told you I'm the same way, you know, where it used to be that I was super controlled until there was a moment that I sat back and just said, maybe I should ask some other people in my family what they want to do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I can tell you between two trips that we did, and you're welcome to share the story, because I think it's hilarious about, you know, having your one son take medicine, but yeah. a huge mindset and shift. And so that's what I like, is that you come from both sides. You're not just sitting on top of a mountain telling people, hey, this is what you should do. And you've never lived through both sides of it. And then, yeah, you've come out on the positive, awesome side, I think. And it takes a lot of that over the course of the years to kind of do that. So yeah, again, with that being said, what are your recommendations on how people can handle what is ultimately a very, very stressful situation, and making sure, and you and I talked about this a lot, is that it's not cheap, obviously, to go to Disney World.
No.
And you want to make sure that you're getting your value, but you also have to be so careful not to attach, you know, this dollar sign to everything. And, you know, our friend Steve Shinbaum, I think, was the one that basically said, like, nobody has ever calmed down by you yelling at them to calm down, the same way nobody has ever had a better time by a dad yelling at his kid, you better have fun, I spent a lot of money.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And this is going to be such a fun conversation.
Yeah.
I think it's important also that we come from the same vantage point on what the definition of stress is. So that's where I'm actually going to start. And it's my reframing in this newfound definition of stress that has been one of the most epiphanal changes that I've ever had in my life. And I'm not sure if you all listening are familiar with modern day philosopher Eckhart Tolle, but Eckhart Tolle defined stress in a way that really resonated with me. And he basically said, stress is the desire for things to be different than they are in the present moment.
Wow.
And ultimately what I pull from that, and this is the change that I've made in my own life, stress is not caused by circumstances and events. It's not caused by what people say or what people do. It's not caused by the weather. It's not caused by anything outside of you. Your stress is directly related to your resistance to those things, your perspective of those things, how you choose to internalize those things. That's what causes your stress. So the reason I find that so liberating and empowering is that means I now have the keys to the car. I am now in full control of my own stress level. Now, again, as I already made the disclaimer, this is a very basic principle. There's nothing easy about this. And I'm not going to pretend for 1 second that I'm still not tempted to feel stressed out about things that are outside of my control. But the closer you can get to living out this mantra, and the reason this is so applicable, and then we will get into the actual planning portion, is I want you guys to understand that the only person that can ruin your vacation at Disney is you. And if you're not watching this on video right now, I hope you know that I'm saying this with a huge smile and all the love and empathy and compassion I have in my heart, because I know no one would intentionally, quote unquote, ruin their own vacation. But if, and this will kind of parlay into what Jeremy just asked, if you are setting your sights on the fact that you have to ride certain rides and that you have to go to certain restaurants and the weather has to be a certain way and your child has to meet a certain character, if those are the boxes that you need to check in order for this to be a happy and memorable and successful vacation, I'm telling you in advance, you're setting yourself up to fail.
Yeah.
If instead, and we can dive deeper into this, if your only goal for this vacation is to spend meaningful, quality, present time with your family and make memories, if that's your only goal, if that's the only litmus test and yardstick, then you've already won before you even get to Orlando. And it's important for you to realize that. So a lot of this has to do with, from my sports background, the difference between the process and the outcome. That if you're only focused on outcomes and results, you leave yourself open to some massive vulnerability of things not turning out the way that you'd like. If you focus much more on the process and you focus on the things that you're in control of, then you're in good shape. And the reason I say that is I just want you to know, because I know this firsthand experience, even if you don't ride every ride you want, see every show you want, get into every restaurant you want, and your kid doesn't get to meet every character they want, you can still have the most fulfilling and meaningful and memorable vacation of your life. But a lot of that goes into the expectations that you set in advance. And that's, I think, what we should start off with, is talking about expectations. And as Jeremy said so brilliantly, if you are saying to yourself, you know, we're spending $5,000 on this vacation, so we expect everything to be perfect and we expect everything to be amazing, life doesn't work that way, folks. And I don't say that with an air of being condescending. I know you know that, but it's important to remind yourself of that, especially when you're going to the most magical place on earth.
Yeah.
And just remember that when things don't necessarily align with your preferences, it doesn't mean that you can't still have a great vacation. And that's the last thing I'll say. I know this was a mouthful. There is nothing wrong with having preferences. There is nothing wrong with saying, these are the rides we'd love to hit. These are the shows we'd love to see. These are the restaurants we'd love to try. And yeah, it's my own personal preference that it's 75 and sunny the entire time we're there. There is nothing wrong with preferences. The dangerous part is when you attach your preferences to your sense of fulfillment and your sense of happiness and your sense of enjoyment. If you attach those things and they don't work out, then you're going to feel like this vacation wasn't what we had hoped it would be.
Yeah, and I think the you putting together preference versus expectation is just so brilliant, because again, like you said, I can't expect to ride the brand new Cosmic Rewind roller coaster, but I can prefer to.
Sure.
And if I don't, then it's very different if I was preferring to than if I expected to, because nothing is 100% offered. You know, I was telling you, one of the things that is so interesting is I'll see in some of these Facebook groups that somebody will show up and they'll be so disappointed on check-in that they told the cast member it was their daughter's birthday and they didn't receive any pixie dust. And that would be amazing. And I understand that. But again, if you expect to get pixie dust, you're going to be so much more disappointed than if you just prefer that it would happen. And the people that prefer sometimes the ones that it happens to. And then it's this wonderful, and that's why it's pixie dust. It's this wonderful bonus, to their vacation, as opposed to going, I can't believe we showed up and they didn't do anything for us. And, you know, the other hard part is that we are all spending the same amount of money in a sense. Again, if I do the exact same vacation that you do, we've spent the exact same amount of money based on our budget and all. And so the outcome of how that comes about is completely dependent on how we look at it and how we react. And so leading up to that vacation, I think the preference portion is so very important. And you said something too, you know, this is what I struggled with. We were talking earlier and you said, why don't you go around the table and talk to each of you people in your family and say, what are three things that you prefer to do? How do you deal with having those conversations with maybe your kids leading in based on age? Because, you know, again, as you said, it's one thing for me to get there and not get to do something that I would like to do. It's another if I've got a 3-year-old who can't meet Elsa all of a sudden. What things can parents maybe preface or try and help either beforehand or while they're there when my 3-year-old daughter doesn't get to meet Elsa for whatever reason may happen.
Oh man, there's so much gold there and so many things to unpack. And obviously I understand, you know, for context, I have 12-year-old twin sons and I have a 10-year-old daughter, and I'm saying that to you all as the listeners, as I'm pretty sure Jeremy's aware of that because we've all been staying at his house for the last 4 days. And there is a difference between having a 2- and 4-year-old or having a 12- and 14-year-old.
Yeah.
So obviously we're going to speak in rather broad generalities of ways that you can approach this. But when your kids are of a certain age, and you know, every parent can decide what that is, I do believe in asking them, you know, in a perfect world, if all of your preferences could align, you know, what are the three most important things that you would like to see, do, or try on this vacation? Maybe it's a certain ride, maybe it's a show, maybe it's meeting a character, you know, but just ask them and start to generate a list for the family that says, okay, this is what each person wants to do. And we are going to prioritize these things. And part of our planning process is we're going to do everything we can to make sure that we can check these things off the boxes. But now is the time in this pre-planning phase, while you're sitting around the proverbial kitchen table, that you can start to plant the seeds with your children in particular and say, hey, I know that it would absolutely make your world to meet Elsa, but just know that that's not guaranteed. And there's a chance that you won't, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, one thing, and I've always believed, whether we're talking about sports, business, Disney, or anything in between, I've always believed in using everything to teach my children lessons. That's just part of my parenting philosophy. And part of that is being able to let them know that it is not the universe's job to conspire to make them happy 24/7. That a good portion of life, we don't get what we want. And we don't have things unfold the way that we would prefer. And that is a lesson. And I'll also say this, again, with a huge smile and hopefully not an ounce of, sounding condescending. If you are planning a trip to Disney, you've already got a pretty decent life compared to most. Now, I'm not saying that you didn't have to scrape together to come up with that money. I'm not saying that you didn't have to work extra shifts or make a massive sacrifice. I'm not saying that this is coming easy. But when you look at the broad scheme of humanity and 8 billion people on this planet, and a third of them don't even have clean drinking water, if you are going to be at Magic Kingdom, you're already doing okay.
Yeah.
So here's the way that I approach it. I'm going to be with my family, who I love very much. We're going to be in the most magical place on earth, and we are going to be present and grateful, and we are going to create meaningful and memorable experiences with each other. That's it. I've already won before I even get there, because that's all that I'm concerned with. And every one of those things is within my control and influence.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter what the weather does, doesn't matter what the rides do, doesn't matter what the cast members do. No one can prevent me from being present and enjoying time with my family and making memories. So I've already won, as long as I'm not giving that power away to someone else. So I would already preface this with my children and say, okay, here's the ride you want to go to. Here's the show you want to see. We're going to do everything in our power to make that happen. But just know that if it doesn't, we're still going to have a great time, and we will come up with a plan B or a contingency plan, and we will figure that out. And last thing I'll say on this, and this one I do know from firsthand, having, you know, every time I've gone to Disney with my children, Jeremy and Rhonda and his family have been with us. You could not ask for better tour guides. I'm also a big believer in investing in my own success. So in my own personal life, I mean, I've hired several coaches to help me with speaking and writing and financial management. If Jeremy wasn't my brother, I would invest in someone like Jeremy that could help make sure I maximize my Disney vacation. That is a big part of the planning process.
Yeah.
And Jeremy will be the first to tell you, I am no Disney expert. And I can tell you that the time that he kind of guided us around the park, told us what to see and when to see it, it made all the difference in the world. And it did make things more efficient, but it also made them more enjoyable. So if you're not a paid member of the Wonderland crew, if you're not already listening and watching every single piece of content that Jeremy and Rhonda put out, I would recommend that you do that. It is the best investment you can make to set yourself up to get some of those preferences and preferred outcomes.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that very much. And what I love is that so much of the process, and of course you can contact Chuck with Main Street Magic Travel to help you plan your vacation. But all of that usually comes down it's outside of the mental aspect. And that's why I think this conversation is just fun and so interesting, because I don't think a lot of people think of the mental portion. They're thinking of the financial side. They're thinking of the actual day-to-day spreadsheet. Here's where we're going to go. Here's what we're going to do. But they don't really, again, prepare mentally for it. And that's why I think this is so good. So, you know, right now, and you have done an incredible job of being present. I mean, that's one of your big philosophies, is to play present, stay present, be where your feet are. You know, if you're with your kids, be with your kids. Don't be on your phone. Issue comes down to Disney is that you have to be on your phone. Whether it's using Genie Plus, whether it's trying to check on a dining reservation, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, checking wait times. What's a really good way for someone to balance in the park, again, where I have to look at my phone for certain moments, but I also want to make sure that I spend this time with kids? And one of my favorite memories ever required no phone, us standing in a queue with our entire family waiting for the Indiana Jones stunt show. And you created a game with the kids. And it's literally one of my favorite Disney memories ever. And at that moment, we didn't need to be on our phone. So what are ways that people can balance that, knowing that it's not as simple as saying, I'm going to leave my phone in the hotel room. I'm just going to put it in my bag. You know, I'm not going to look at it. How can you still do both?
The concept of being in the present moment is much more infinite and esoteric. It's a way of being. It's not coming down to specifics and tactics. So I'm not saying just because someone glances at their phone, they're not being present. It's about what you value and where you choose to place your attention. And if the vast majority, the overwhelming majority of your attention is being placed on your family and the experiences you're having, then you're being present. There's a difference between checking your phone for a wait time on a show and, you know, obsessively taking selfie after selfie so that you can post a picture on social media later to make everyone jealous of the fact you're at Disney when you're not even present while you're at Disney.
Yeah.
You know, it's the difference between, you know, and again, I feel like I have to keep lacing this because you guys don't know me. So I don't ever want to rub anyone the wrong way. I don't want to say any of this in judgment. You all are free to do whatever it is that you want to do and gives you the most fulfillment. But to me, there's a big difference between, you know, sitting with your arm around your daughter, watching the characters walk by during a parade, and filming the entire thing so you can put it on Facebook later to show everyone what a present father you are. And it's like, you're not a present father. It, you know, like, the parade is already in HD. It's already in front of you. If you're not going to watch it in real time, you're not going to go back and watch that video. I can promise you that.
And every other person has already put it on the internet for every other person to watch. So yeah, you're definitely not breaking any kind of new ground there by doing it yourself.
No. Well, back to your original question. I'm a huge believer in being very honest and very direct with my children now that they're of this certain age. And part of this pre-planning, I would actually show them the app. I would actually say, hey, you know, technology is awesome. This is an amazing tool that's going to allow us to navigate the park in a much more efficient manner. Let me show you guys how this works. Let me show you what this does. Let me show you how I'm going to be using it. And I just want you all to know that when you see me using my phone when we're in the park, I'm using it for the sole purpose of navigating us through a more enjoyable experience and letting them know that. Even, you know, again, now that my children are 12 and 10 and most of them are more technically savvy than I am, you know, I could say for the next hour, you know, Jack, you get to have my phone and you get to figure out what's the ride we're going to do next.
That's
or
great.
what's the restaurant that we want to go to for lunch. And then after an hour, hand the phone over to Luke, let Luke do it. And then let Lila have a try, like involve them in it, but make sure that it's crystal clear that if it ever appears that I'm not giving you my full undivided attention, it's because that's contributing to the vacation and the experience that we're having. So there is a huge difference between using a phone to navigate your experience and using a phone to distract and pull you away from that experience. So it's more on the former that we're looking to do.
Yeah. And I love all this, you know, and there's, again, there's so much gold in there. And you've taught me a lot about everything everything you're saying, I've learned from you, and I've changed the ways that I've done things. And as you've said, you're not telling anyone what to do. I'm not telling. Everybody's going to react in their own way. But I just think these are the things that people don't sometimes think about. It's always taking that step back, and it's kind of looking at yourself in the mirror and all. And yeah, there's plenty of times that we have gone down, and I've thought, you know what? We're not really worried about wait times. We're kind of just enjoying the park with our friends. So I'm going to put my phone in my bag.
Yeah.
And if I'm not planning anything at that moment, but you just, I mean, again, you just said something that I never even thought of, was just because I'm looking at my phone, that specific thing doesn't mean I'm not present. If I'm looking at a wait time, it means I'm actually in a way trying to be more present in a sense, because I'm trying to plan what is, you know, next, what is going to be best. Then all of a sudden we go, now, when I get in line or I get in the queue with our family, it changes a little bit. If at that point I am just scrolling Facebook for no reason, or I'm taking a photo saying, look at me, it's such a big difference. So I think it's easy for me to think, man, I'm looking at my phone all day long, I must not be present. But it really does depend on what you're doing with that information.
Sure.
That's huge.
And I'm, for the record, I'm not anti-selfie, and I'm definitely not anti-picture or video.
Oh, yeah, I mean, of course. Of
arguably, course. The most prized possessions I have in this world, outside of my children themselves, are the pictures I have of my children on my phone that can document from birth all the way up until present
that
day.
That should be the purpose.
For sure.
Not the purpose of... And every single morning, one of the first things I do, and this would be a whole other conversation I can have after this, is I'm the guy that rolls over and picks up my phone immediately. And I know that's not a good thing to do. But one of the first things I do is I go to Facebook and I look at memories. Mm-hmm. And the only most of the time, I would say 90% of the time, whatever memory I'm seeing, I posted knowing that a year, 2 years, 3 years from now, I'm going to look at it. And it gives me joy, especially a weekend like this where July 4th is the Stein family reunion every year.
Yeah.
And I can go and look at up to 10 years ago, I think we maybe started this up at our parents just south of Myrtle Beach. And so I'm hoping that my focus when I do put something on social media is for my own benefit. I don't ever want it to be for anyone else's. And that's a great point that you just raised.
Yeah.
It's not about being an influencer. It's not about saying, look at me, I've got money to go to Disney. For me, I want it to make sure it's always about, I can't wait to look at this in a year and see what the girls looked like or what Rhonda and I were doing or whatever. So that's just a great point that you raised that, again, I don't think ever really clicked to me.
Yeah. And again, I don't say any of this in judgment.
Of course.
It doesn't bother me one bit if someone wants to take a picture and post it on social media. Like, everyone needs to use those platforms and use technology the way that they believe serves them. And as I mentioned in the beginning, one of the main reasons I can share the things I'm sharing now is because I did the exact opposite of all of these things before.
Yeah.
I mean, when my children were really young, I mean, you could have made a flip book out of all the pictures that I took of them. I was documenting everything for the reason of showing off on social media.
Yeah.
Look what my child is doing. So I don't say any of this in judgment. I'm just saying, as more of a broader rule of an esoteric view of life, just aim to be as present as you can while you're there and allow technology to benefit that and to help you, but absolutely get some great pictures and videos of your children having these wonderful experiences, especially if it's your first trip to Disney. I mean, you know, the awe and the magic that they'll feel, but you can do that and still be as present as possible.
Yeah.
And, you know, very similar to, you know, with all of this stuff, both the books that I've written, I basically write the book that I need to read myself.
Like, I love that.
I write the book that I need to learn these lessons. So all of this stuff I'm sharing with you all right now is because I've learned these lessons myself. Everything I have talked about so far and everything we'll talk about, I promise you, I have done the opposite of that at some point. And I've now been able to come to the conclusion that doing it this way is simply a better fit for me. And it increases my happiness in the moment. It increases my joy and fulfillment more in the long term. And it absolutely reduces stress, which I know is one of the fundamental keys of what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, and what's so crazy is that if right now, if next weekend, you and I and our families were going to go to Disney, we're still not going to do 100% of this stuff. That's the crazy part.
Yeah, of course.
Here we are talking about it and we know it. And like you said, basic, not easy.
Yeah.
So I think that's hilarious. If literally we went to Disney next weekend, we still would have issue with all these. So so you're at Disney, and I'm just going to use Cosmic Rewind, which is the latest new roller coaster in Epcot.
Yep.
It's currently, just to give you a little bit of background, it's currently functioning on either a virtual queue that you have to join at 7 a.m. if you are a resort guest, or you can purchase it for up to $17 a person at 7 a.m. These go quick, very, very quick. If you're in Epcot at 1 p.m., there's another virtual queue opportunity. This is talk about not basic. This is not basic or easy to understand. You wake up at 7 a.m. Your kids are big Guardians of the Galaxy fans, and they want to ride Cosmic Rewind. It's your one day at Epcot. You don't get it at 7 a.m., and maybe you don't get it in the park at 1 p.m. I guess, now what? Like, we talked about that to-do list and about expectations. What are ways, and not that I think you want to all of a sudden, like, trick your kids into something else and go, oh, well, let's go ride this instead, but do you have any kind of tools or ideas to kind of navigate through that thing? Because you really don't want that day to be ruined at 7 a.m. because you're potentially not going to ride the one ride you wanted to.
Right. Well, okay, so let's back up for a moment. This will give us a good chance to summarize what we've talked about.
Yeah.
You not getting on that ride is not ruining your vacation. You're the one that's ruining your vacation by saying that that ride now has power over me. So step one is you invest in the Wonderland crew, and you make sure that you invest your time into every piece of content Jeremy and Rhonda have put out, and you hire a travel agent so that you feel very prepped on the tactical side to approach Disney. Step two, you sit around with your family and you ask everybody what their preferences would be. What, you know, if you could pick one ride that you want to do, what would that be? One restaurant to go to, one show, and get kind of a collective curated list of the things that everyone would want to do. But at that moment is when you say, just so you know, there is a chance that you can't do that ride or meet that character or eat at that restaurant. We're going to do our very best to do so, but there's a chance that that's not going to happen. And you let them know. And this is where I speak so honestly with my children. Hey, here's the ride I want to do. Here's the restaurant I want to go to. There's a chance we don't get to do mine either. Like, and that's, so we're going to plant that seed early. And you can come up with some contingency plans. I mean, you can say, if we can't get into Guardians of the Galaxy, what's something else that we could do? Is there something, another ride or another show at that time that we would also find enjoyable? You know, two things come to mind, and this, for those of you that do like sports and basketball, you'll hopefully appreciate this. The first is, you want to learn to make high pressure decisions during times of low pressure, which means before you get to Magic Kingdom, come up with every contingency plan you can. Because when you're there and it's hot and the lines are long and your 4-year-old is throwing a tantrum, you are not going to be in the emotional state to probably make your best decision or be your best self. So come up with that in advance. I learned this from a Hall of Fame caliber coach who would draw up a variety of different plays that they would play, they would do at the end of a game based on time and score. Okay. And he would know those in advance and say, hey, if there's 4 seconds left and we're down 3 and it's our ball on the sideline, here's the play we're going to run because we've already practiced this and we've executed this. I'm not going to wait to the heat of battle to make an emotional decision or draw something up on the whiteboard. You know, we're going to do this. So make high pressure decisions during times of low pressure. So that low pressure time is while you're sitting around the dinner table at home before you've even driven and or flown to Orlando. So make sure you do that then. The other thing that I learned through basketball, and I would tell all of the players that I worked with, when you drive to the basket, expect that someone is going to foul you. It is their job, the guys in the other colored jerseys, it's their job to prevent you from scoring, and they're going to do everything in their power to do that. So don't be surprised when someone fouls you, you know, and don't complain to the referee when someone fouls you. That's what they do. Instead, be pleasantly surprised if you go to the basket and no one touches you. Well, how do we apply that to Disney? Expect that Guardians of the Galaxy is not going to be available at 7 a.m. when you try to get that queue. Just expect that you're not going to get in, and you've already got another plan in mind. Yeah. And if you do get in, you can all be pleasantly surprised, and you can be, you know, riddled with immense, you know, gratitude. Boy, I am really thankful that we got in on this ride because I know a lot of people that didn't. So, you know, plan these things in advance. And this is all mindset. Again, if you say that the only goal of this vacation is to be present with my family, spend meaningful time with them, and make memories, you've already won. There is nothing that can prevent you from doing that. Disney can't stop you from doing that. The weather can't stop you from doing that. The app can't stop you from doing that. You actually become bulletproof. Because I can tell you right now, if we were going to Disney next weekend, I've already won. I already know that I'm going to have an amazing experience, but I have no idea if things are going to unfold to my preference or not. Right. And I never will. You know, the future is always 100% uncertain. None of this stuff is guaranteed. And when you go into it with an expectation, I've paid my $5,000 and I expect everything to be perfect because the world owes me perfection, you're fooling yourself.
Yeah.
And you are setting yourself up to be disappointed. And last thing I'll say, because I know this was a mouthful, I've always believed, and I parent this way, children will follow our lead as adults and as parents. If you don't get into the ride that your child wants and you make it a big deal and you start cursing and you throw your hat on the ground and you know, your child will follow suit. If not, they won't. Now, a four-year-old is most likely going to throw a tantrum no matter what. But that tantrum, and I've seen this firsthand with my own kids, that tantrum can last less than 30 seconds if you say, hey, I'm sorry we didn't get the ride you want, but we're going to go over here and we're going to check this thing out.
Yeah.
Or we're going to try and do this. And, you know, they'll follow your lead. So as parents, we're the ones that have to set the standard and set the foundation. And we're the ones that have to bulletproof ourselves to having the mindset that this vacation is going to be amazing no matter what. Because amazing comes down to being present and meaningful time with my family. Amazing has nothing to do with anything else.
Whew. That's the quote right there. Well, same thing. And we always tried this with our girls growing up. Like you're saying, the way that you react is if one of them falls down and skins their knee, your reaction determines their reaction.
100%.
If you freak out like crazy, so are they. How long have you been doing? Did you switch now from being, you know, your basketball kind of coach, strength and conditioning to keynote?
5 years
speaking,
ago,
five
2017.
Years. Did you know, and this is what's so impressive. Did you know at that moment that what you were creating would literally apply to somebody going on vacation? Because your whole thing was applying what you learned from the best of the best in sports to business. It's just amazing that every single one of these concepts can literally apply to a family going on vacation or going to the grocery store and hoping that you pick up what you want for dinner. And what if they're sold out? I think that's absolutely fascinating. That's why this is just such a like fun and interesting conversation. I would have never, when you said you were going to do this switch. And of course I've been working for you for 20 years now.
Yeah.
I mean, when you got out of college, I was kind of the first person you went to and said, can you build a website? And I said, I'm sure I can figure it out. And we started that, but I just would have never imagined at that time that the things that you were doing and pursuing could literally help someone on their vacation. I think that's the coolest thing.
Well, I appreciate you saying that.
I love that.
And no, there was never a moment that I realized it, but as it's unfolded and I've hit these different landmarks in my life, you know, working at elite level basketball and then becoming a parent and having children. I mean, that changed my perspective on everything. Then having a chance to work in the corporate world where I'd never had a job before. And I'm advising some, you know, big time companies and CEOs on these principles. And that's ultimately what it comes down to. These are fundamental principles and truths that apply to every area of life. I mean, what it takes to be an effective leader if you play for the Los Angeles Lakers, or an effective leader if you are the CEO of Disney, or the effective leader of you're the CEO of your family, it's all the same type of stuff. And these things absolutely apply. And you know, there's a couple of things to think about. One, all of this kind of falls under the umbrella of both leadership and mindset. So leadership, these principles work, as I just mentioned, in any area. But same thing with mindset. I mean, the principles of what it takes to be mentally tough, which is ultimately what I'm hoping to be describing here, are the same in basketball, business, Disney, or anything in between.
Yep.
And it is about ultimately not letting the outside world, circumstances, events, what people say, what people do, dictating your inside world, your attitude, your mindset, your perspective, which when you get that and you truly can understand that, it makes you almost invincible. I mean, my level of confidence has gone through the roof, but equally important, my level of fulfillment has gone through the roof, because no one can ruin my day but me. No one can ruin my vacation but me.
Yeah.
You know, same thing. So technically speaking, I'm a keynote speaker. My goal as a keynote speaker is to be fully present on stage, to be in full service of the audience, and to make sure that I am prepped to do the best that I'm capable of. That's the only thing I use to measure whether or not my keynote was a success.
Yeah.
I don't measure not whether I get a standing ovation. I don't measure whether or not I get all 5 stars on the evaluation. I don't measure or not how many people made a social mention about it. Now, those are preferences. I would prefer to get a standing ovation over not. I would prefer that most people say that was the most amazing keynote we've ever heard over saying that was completely worthless. Yeah, those are preferences, but those preferences do not dictate how I feel about myself and how I approach my craft. Same thing with vacation. Let's just slide it over one seat. Don't think that whether or not you get in this restaurant, this ride, or meet this character is what determines whether or not you had an amazing vacation. You determine whether or not you have an amazing vacation. And you can prefer to do all of those things, and that's wonderful. Yeah. And my guess is, and it's been my own experience in life, you're going to get some of those preferences, and you're not going to get some of those preferences.
For sure.
And the sooner you can know that going into it. I mean, it just, anytime I find myself getting frustrated in life, which still happens, now it happens less frequently than it used to, I literally start laughing and I say to myself, Alan, it's not the universe's job to make you happy. So you go to the grocery store, you need to pick up something last minute, you're running late for an appointment or running late to meet your kids at home, and there's a really long line and there's a very slow cashier, and you find yourself a little bit agitated. There is a great chance for you to practice being patient and practice this mindset of saying, it's not the universe's job to make sure that I can get through this line quickly and get home.
Yeah.
The world just does what the world does. It's our job to adapt to it and to respond to these things. And when you can get to the point that you shell out all of this money at Disney and you show up in Orlando and it's raining and you don't get in to see Indiana Jones and the restaurant you wanted to go to is full and you can still smile and have an amazing time with your children, I mean, you're indestructible. You're impervious. You are bulletproof. You are mentally tough when you can have that type of approach. And for me, that is one of the most important things that I want to model for my children. Yeah. Above and beyond kindness and tolerance and qualities like empathy and compassion, all of which I try to model for my children. I want to model for my children that I am mentally tough and I don't care what happens today at Disney. We're going to have an amazing time because we're with each other and we love each other. That's it. I already won.
Yeah. Wow. That is absolutely incredible. Maybe my next shirt will sell will be family CEO. I just love that idea of like you are the CEO and Rhonda is the CEO of this family for sure.
Or co-CEOs sometimes the family might need that.
Yeah, for sure. No, that is absolutely outstanding. And another thing, just going back to talking about, you know, 5 years ago when you made this switch from, you know, basketball to kind of business in a sense is and our mutual friend Drew Hanlon kind of coined that phrase unseen hours. Mm-hmm. I also would have never thought that there are unseen hours into a vacation.
Yeah.
You know, that is the preparation, that is the planning leading up to it, which fully can dictate the way that your vacation goes and everything that you're saying. I think it's just so impressive that you're able to take your mindsets and your philosophies and apply them to anything. And obviously I'm your brother. I'm going to always think you're one of the best, but you are one of the best.
Thank you.
At what you do. Are there any, I guess, final words you want to share? And obviously, please share where everyone can find you, where they can find your incredible books, which again, you could literally read either one of your books and take a ton of those mindsets and apply it to every single area of your life, including a vacation. So any final words?
Sure. A couple things. And I know brevity is not my strong suit.
I'm still learning stuff, and I've seen every single keynote you've done in the past 5 years and read every word you've written in the past 5 years. And I'm still learning things today during this episode. So
I'm so glad. I just want to unpack a little bit more about the concept of being in the present moment.
Yes.
So we've talked about all the planning and preparation and how you deal with expectations and how you define a quote unquote winning vacation before you've even gotten there and how you're going to, you know, curate ideas and preferences from your family, how you've hired, a travel agent and you've joined Wonderland Crew and you've done all of these things to prepare to give yourself the chance to be as successful as possible when the vacation gets there.
Yeah.
Now, once you're there, you want to be as present as you can. And the short definition of being present means be where your feet are, which as Jeremy's already teed up, that means if you're going to be in the park with your family, be in the park with your family. Yeah. Don't be mentally on Facebook somewhere else or anything else. But a more elaborate or detailed definition of that is you need to learn how to refocus on the next play. You need to refocus on what you have control over, and you need to refocus on the process. And this is really, I mean, this is incredibly apropos to being at a Disney vacation. First is next play. No matter what just happened in the park, be prepared to move to the next play. You know, the basketball analogy to that is, you know, you just turned the ball over. It's all right. Next play. You just missed a wide open layup. It's okay. Next play. Yeah, the referee missed a call. It happens. Next play. Well, when I was in elite level basketball, the reason I want my players focused on the next play is because they can't do anything about the play that just happened. It is literally unchangeable because it is now in the past. It is in the rearview mirror. And any moment a basketball player spends dejected, worried about, or pouting about the play that just happens means they can't invest their focus and their energy and their effort into the current play. Well, same thing with your vacation. You know, if you want to go ride Space Mountain and the line is way too long, all right, next play. Or in this case, next ride,
yep.
Next restaurant,
yep.
Next character. Just move on, you know, and the quicker you can do that, the better off you'll be. And the beautiful part is, you know, as Jeremy and Rhonda can tell you with much greater detail, so you don't get to ride Space Mountain at noon. You might be able to ride it at 6 p.m. There might be no line then for whatever reason. So it's not even like you're already saying we'll never be able to do this. Just quickly move to the next play. Well, the second part of being the present moment is refocusing the lens on what you have control over, which is only your attitude and your effort. Learn to let everything else go. Literally everything else. Yeah. Just focus on your attitude and your effort to being with your family and spending this meaningful time, and learn to let the other things go. And then the last part we've kind of already covered is learn to focus on the process. Don't get so caught up in the outcomes of your vacation. Don't get caught up on, all right, we have a to-do list of 20 items that we want to do while we're at Disney. Oh my gosh, we've only done 4 of them. Now you're setting yourself up for failure. Just keep reminding yourself, am I with the people I love? Am I being as present as I possibly can? And are we making memories, things that we'll either see in our Facebook time hop a year from now or flip through a printed Shutterfly picture book that we're going to look 20 years from now? Are we doing those things? And if the answer is yes, you've won. And if you've already won, even though you're not at the restaurant of your choice, you're not riding the ride that you want, and your kid didn't get meet the character they wanted, you've already won. And then the last thing I'll say on that is, and this is a really slippery slope for a variety of different reasons, but one of the things that can undermine your ability to have a wonderful vacation is playing the comparison game, comparing this Disney trip to the one we took last time, comparing this Disney trip to the one our friends just told us they had or our friends posted on Facebook. You know, is being able to say, well, that family just got into the Guardians of the Galaxy ride and we didn't, so now I feel less than. Playing the comparison game is a choice, and it will rob you of joy, happiness, and fulfillment. So don't compare your Disney vacation to anyone else's. Just say, we have worked really, really, really hard for the money that we're investing in this, and what we want to get out of it is something that we'll never forget. And you control that. I mean, this is the surest bet in the world. I just came back from Vegas, where most of the bets you make are very unsure, and they lean towards the house.
Yeah.
I promise you, your $5,000 will be invested into the most meaningful experience you've ever had if that's what you choose. No one can change that.
Wow. That's another great question. I'm like, you basically just said at Disney, you will always beat the house if you take that choice. That's
absolutely
amazing.
Jeez. I beat the house everywhere I go because this is my newfound perspective.
That is incredible.
Now, again,
let
me just say this with a huge stroke of humility. For just over 40 years, I lost to the house every single time because I allowed any time I didn't get what I wanted or I preferred, I allowed it to ruin my mood. And then, as Jeremy knows firsthand, I could use my bad mood to pollute everyone and everything around me. I mean, I would drag everyone else's experience down because I didn't get what I wanted. And for some reason, I felt like I had this entitled mentality that the world owed me for things to line up perfectly. And I no longer believe that. And now some of the funniest moments I have in my life are when things happen that used to be the most annoying and irritating things. You know, I mean, I'm not wired to be incredibly patient. So when I get in line at Target and I'm running late and there's a long line and the cashier is a little bit slow, that used to really drive me crazy. And I would think, why is the world against me?
Right,
why is
right.
this happening to me? And instead, now I just laugh and say, this is happening for me.
Yeah.
Gives me a chance to practice some patience and practice what it is that I preach. And for that, I'm very grateful. And again, I do not want to gloss over the fact that if you are going to a vacation in Disney, even if you've had to, you know, scrape, borrow, and steal your way to get there, you are still in the upper percentile of the world for having this opportunity.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is not to be condescending, but is to hopefully inject some gratefulness in the fact, because it's very, very hard, if not impossible, to be grateful and annoyed at the same time. to be grateful and irritated at the same time, to be grateful and entitled at the same time. So just say, boy, I'm so thankful that when a third of the world doesn't have clean drinking water, I'm able to take my family to the most magical place on earth and create memories that we will never forget. So that type of shift helps me keep things in perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's one, it's kind of like, I mean, I think the regular saying is like a, I mean, we don't fish, but like a good day of fishing is, or a bad day of fishing is better than a good day at work. Same thing. I mean, a bad day at Disney is still better than a good day at work. So yeah, being grateful with that. I just love that you've been able to, and I'm looking, I mean, we're, you know, 50 minutes you've taken our initial just thought, not that it's our initial thought, but to-do list has always been Rhonda and I's thing.
Yeah.
And you just expanded that to so much more about don't have a checklist, don't have a to-do list in the grand scheme of things. And you really, really expanded that. Like, this has been, this is awesome.
Well, I'm so glad. The last thing I want to say, and then I know you said, if I could leave a tip or two about how you can recharge when you get back from a vacation.
For sure.
If you have the self-awareness to know what it is you need to do to be your best self, try to continue to do those things while you're still on vacation. Now, I understand that the concept of being on vacation means that maybe you don't have to get up at 4:30 in the morning. And I'm not saying everybody needs to work out before they hit the park or anything. But if you know that you need a little bit of stillness or quiet time to kind of cool your jets and to kind of refocus, then find a way to work that into your day. Yeah. And this is where, especially for those of you that are still in a traditional family, I'm very amicably divorced. So my vacations, I'm the only parent with my children, is, you know, if you are a couple and you have a significant other there with you, if you find that your significant other is feeling a little bit frazzled, is a little bit upset, they haven't been able to quite put everything into practice that we've shared in this episode, do everything you can to support them and encourage them, and even say, hey, you know, I'll take the kids to the pool for the next 30 minutes. You can just stay in the room and kind of chill out. You know, do something to refill your bucket so that when we re-adjourn later as a family and we hit the park or we go to dinner, that your bucket is now full. So work together, be a team, be able to say that, you know, we need to each do what we can to show up as our best self as consistently as possible. And the nice part is, if you do that, you'll probably feel a little better when you get home from your vacation.
For sure.
You know, most people come back from a vacation and they need a vacation to recover from the vacation that they just had. And part of that is understandable. I mean, there is, being in Disney for a few days is nothing short of exhausting.
Yeah.
It's usually pretty warm. The lines are long. You're schlepping along a massive park. I mean, I don't have the Fitbit or an Apple Watch, so I can only imagine how many miles we would walk or how many steps we'd take. It is exhausting, but you can still take some steps. You know, whether it's a midday meditation, if that's your thing, or it's waking up 30 minutes before your kids do so that you can have some stillness, or read the paper and drink some coffee, or whether it's your partner or significant other saying, hey, can you take the kids for the next hour? Because I'm about to choke somebody.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. So find a way to work together so that when you leave Disney, you feel a little bit more refreshed and re-energized and rejuvenated than if you just go there and you leave when your tank is on empty.
Right. No, I think that's absolutely perfect. And you're somebody who's definitely taught me to recharge my battery. Even coming out, because the thing too is, well, first of all, Disney is physically exhausting, but I think it's more mentally exhausting.
Oh yeah.
Like, I'm okay coming back with blisters on my feet. And again, I operate very differently because we're there, you know, once or twice a month and all, but yeah, on a vacation like that, it's one thing to come back with blisters on your feet. It's another to come back and you're just mentally just drained. And so I've now usually most Monday mornings, I call it me Monday.
Yeah.
And that's when I walk the most. I'll usually take about 3 hours in the morning. Yep. To walk and just listen to podcasts or do whatever, or not even just whatever. And I think it's super important. I can't thank you enough because, you know, Rhonda and I have a lot of Disney knowledge. We go a lot, and we're very thankful that we have this opportunity and we're afforded this ability to go all the time. And our number one goal is to always, is to help people on their Disney vacation, save money, have a better time, but to bring a level like this that you just brought through this whole episode on something that we can't even begin to touch on sometimes. And everything you said, I learn from, I try to implement in my life. I certainly don't do a great job of it all the time, and nobody will. You know, I don't think anybody can ever do this 100% of the time. And there is a point where you buy your kid a $8 Mickey bar and he drops it on the ground and you might lose your cool. But yeah, how can you go ahead and go to next play and play present and all of that? I do want, for anyone who does not know who you are or follow you, please let people know where they can find you, your books. Again, those can be applied to every aspect of life, business, whatever. Go ahead and promote yourself as much as possible, because I know you won't otherwise, unless I specifically tell you to.
Well, the main hub is allensteinjr.com. That has everything on my speaking. So if any of you happen to be running a business and you feel like talking about stress management or you know, decreasing burnout or decreasing stagnation or mental toughness or any of this would be helpful, go to allensteinjr.com. I have a supplemental site, which is strongerteam.com, which has info on my books, the podcast that Jeremy is kind enough to produce for me, an online course, and I do some very exclusive one-on-one coaching. And then I'm very easily found on social media at Allenstein Jr. Jeremy plays a massive role in my social presence as well, but I take a tremendous amount of pride in being not only accessible, but also very responsive. Yeah. So shoot me a DM on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram. If any part of this conversation resonated with you, or you want to continue the dialogue, it'd be my honor to do it. And then lastly, you can get either of my books, Raise Your Game or Sustain Your Game, on Amazon or Audible or wherever they sell books. But yeah, I take a lot of pride in helping people, especially on the parenting side, because as I've said, you know, when I look back on my journey, which has been 12 years as a parent, I've done some things really, really well. I've also done some things that I wish I had a do-over, or for you golfers out there, a mulligan, but I didn't. So I just learn from them and I move on. And I think I'm at a better place now, and I've never been more connected with my kids. I mean, it's been amazing. And I'm looking forward to our next trip to Disney, and looking forward to Jeremy, you and Rhonda, you know, giving us the, rolling out the red carpet and taking us through everything that you guys do. So lastly, folks, don't forget, join the Wonderland crew, support Jeremy and Rhonda and everything that they do. Their content is amazing. Their gear and their t-shirts are amazing. Make sure you support them through Patreon and all the other options that they have, so they can keep this going, because I know they're doing it to be in service of you guys.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. And that's another thing I've learned so much from you, especially the social media, and you have huge followings, is that you have responded, I believe, to probably 100% of people that have ever reached out, which again, I've then taken in to say, you know what, no matter what it is, I want to make sure I respond. So I do think, please, everybody go follow Alan if you don't already, buy his books, all that good stuff. And thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it, which was so great. It was, this is your idea. When you were down here, you and this is what you're so great at, is serving other people. And you said to me, hey, is there like an episode or something we could record for your podcast and I can be some of service to you? And I was like, heck yeah, we'll figure something out. So thank you, Alan. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right, guys. Well, that is it for us today. I hope you enjoyed this. Again, if you want these brand new episodes every Tuesday and Friday, you can go ahead and hit that subscribe button. And as long as you are out there, Rhonda and I, and Alan probably as well, would be so thankful if you would leave us a rating and review, because as Rhonda always says, it helps our show grow. That's all we've got, and we'll see you real soon.
Jeremy and Rhonda are more than a little fond of Disney World, so they made this podcast to share it all with you. Reports and resorts, top 10 lists of all sorts, Main Street Magic's bringing it home for you.